That was mine. I ask you to stand as you are able in reverence to God's holy word. If it's difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart and receive these words from the Most High God. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, the 19th through the 22nd verses. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In the letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, "But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I'm barely touching the ground. And that's why. This morning, at 6:02 a.m., my vicarious grandson was born. For those of you who didn't hear the explanation when I announced that my girl Devin was pregnant, my friend, my best friend, Kathy Tidwell, had more children than she needed, so she shared Devin with me. Because when the three of us were out, everybody thought Devin was mine anyway, because of her hair. But they said Devin couldn't have children. But we prayed this morning. Trevin James Hensley was born at 6:02. He was 7 pounds 3 ounces of perfection, and I'm going to spoil him so rotten. And I'm going to enjoy every second of it. That is my grandchild. It's as close as I'm ever going to have. And he's mine. Kathy's willing to offer me some of hers. That's okay. This one will be enough. But I'll tell you what, for those of us who could not have children, to have a grandchild without having to go through children is a great thing. God loves me. It was an amazing thing that he was born this morning. She's been in labor since Friday. And finally this morning they took him by C-section. But it was an amazing thing, because this morning I want to talk to you about the Lord God creating humanity. And God took dust of the ground and shaped it into a human being, and then breathed into that dust the breath of life and created us. Talk about an act of pure love. For those of you who like to be creative, you know, there's some of you that, you know, it's obvious creation, you know, because you make things. The pout house, you know, takes strips of wood and makes wonderful things, like the chancel we have before us and the crosses that we send around the world. And we see that as a creative act of love. And Barb, just day before yesterday, I was wearing a pair of earrings that you made me. Got a lot of compliments on those. And I just, you know, preen and say, yeah, because somebody in my church was creative enough to do that. I have Christmas decorations that some of you have made with your own hands. I have all of these memories and wonderful times. The ladies of United Methodist Women in 3Ws made the chrismons for this tree. An act of creativity, an act of love. To create is love. God, out of the dust of the ground, created human and breathed into us the breath of life. And humanity at that moment became the strangest paradox of all. Because human beings are both mortal and immortal. We have a body that we're going to shuck off, and we have a soul that will live forever. We are so weak. I mean, look around. Right now, our ranks are kind of thin because there's a lot of people homesick because we catch the things that are going around. There's a couple of people who aren't here because they fell down and went boom. We are weak. We're physically sometimes can be so weak. Sometimes we are spiritually weak. Sometimes we give in to temptations. But we are also the most powerful things God ever made. When I look at humanity sometimes, particularly when I watch the news, I wonder how beings this stupid have lasted so long. Because humanity, when you look at us collectively, are dumb as a box of rocks. And that's being insulting to rocks. We have done some of the dumbest things I have ever seen and continue to do them. And yet, we can be so wise. We can be so smart. We can take little bits of knowledge and come up with things that no one would have ever dreamed about. And it's getting faster and faster and faster. If you want to figure out how to work your computer, ask a 3-year-old. If you want to figure out how to work your tablet, ask a 2-year-old. It's the truth. It's amazing to me how technologically smart we can be and how morally dumb we are. We're a paradox. I looked it up just to be sure. Back when they first did this in 1955, the chemicals of a human body, when just broken down into nothing but its chemical content, we were $1.78. I want you to know we have taken a great leap forward. We are now worth $4.50. Inflation, yeah. Yeah. If they do it by the pound, I got the edge on all of you. But think about it. Each one of us is made up of the same stuff. And if you break us down, we'd all be worth the same amount. And yet, each person on this planet, even identicals, are unique. We're the only one that ever has been like us. We're the only one that will ever will be like us. And I realize that that is a cause for great praise for most of us. I'm glad there's only one John. John, I am so glad that we have you, but I wouldn't give you a nickel for another one. But I wouldn't take $100 million for him. Yeah, just come on. keep going. And I have to tell you, I had to do a reflection paper on the condition of my soul and give it to my district superintendent this last week. And, you know, he said, I want a 2-page reflection paper on the condition of your soul. And I thought, okay, F-I-N-E, you know, fine. But actually, I went through and I did it legitimately, because when John Wesley asked for the condition of your soul, he wanted to know what insights you had received from the Holy Spirit. He wanted to know if you were facing temptations. He wanted to know if you had failings. He wanted to know, you know, what was going on in your inner being was the question he was asking. So I legitimately answered that until I got to the very last part. When I got to the very last part where it talked about temptations, and I said, and I quote, in every trustee and finance meeting, I want to chuck the whole thing and be a greeter at Walmart. Then number two in my list of temptations, I said I want to strangle Ross Trickster at least once a week. However, it is not a failing because I haven't done it yet. Yeah. Line forms. I couldn't wait to tell Ross that. I called Brenda and told her to tell him, because he wasn't up yet. Tell Ross what I did. Shades of Mac. I don't know what I would do without one of your children up here. I mean that sincerely. It's wonderful, isn't it? See, this is. Did you hear what she said? She wanted her kids to have kids. Getting even. And I have grandchild without it. Human beings are either cowardly or courageous, and you know what's amazing to me is the same person can be both. We can be very cowardly about some things. You know, we don't want to admit we're wrong. We don't want to admit we need help. And that same person would jump into a freezing river to save a child that fell in. It's amazing to me, the paradox of humanity. We're all born with the potential to be all of these things. So what do we do with that? What do we do with it? Every human being that is born has the potential to be Adolf Hitler or Mother Teresa. Every person that's born has that potential. Now, there's all kinds of things that play into that, but every human being has the potential to be great for either good or ill. So God didn't just leave it at that. Jesus came and he redeemed us. We were saved from all of the evil that we have done by his death and resurrection on a cross. And when he was going back to the Father, he did not leave us alone. Did you notice the way John tells the story is he breathed on them? He breathed the Holy Spirit into them. No breath, no life. The breath of the Holy Spirit to actually reside in us. Now, it's amazing to me that God created us and breathed into us life. Now he is breathing into us part of himself. That God Almighty, creator of everything, is willing to condescend to live inside Susan Lankford. You got to be kidding. No wonder people don't believe the good news, because it's really too good to believe. People just can't wrap their minds around it, that God Almighty would love me that much, not just to create me, but to reside in me. But it's true. It's absolutely true. And he breathed on those disciples. And the Holy Spirit from then on has lived inside every person who professes Christ. Wow. Yeah, it's awesome. I ought to have got an amen from somewhere. Amen. What's the matter with you, Jerry? Because that is a way bigger miracle than just creating us. That he would live inside of us. And the fact that he lives inside of us makes us unconquerable. Say that word, unconquerable. Don't take that word lightly. Don't let that word just kind of pass through your mind. I want you to think about this word all week long. I want to think you to think about it every day for the rest of your life. You are unconquerable. Because the power of the living God lives inside of you. Right after this, where Paul talks about that we have this amazing treasure in a clay jar, he says that he's pressed, but he's not crushed. That he's perplexed, but he's not in despair. He's persecuted, but he's not forsaken. He is struck down, but he is not destroyed. He is unconquerable. Not without his problems, but unconquerable. Unconquerable. And we lose sight of that so easily, and we hang our heads and we worry and we fret. And every little thing that comes along, we do kind of an oh, woe is me thing. And you know, some of the things that come by are hard things, terrible things, heavy things. There's people in this congregation who are facing within the next week really hard things. Some of them might crop up that you don't even know about them yet. Hope not. Judy's son's going to have surgery on his neck. The people that we prayed for today, a young mother with cancer. We had a young mother that lost a fight with disease with an 8-month-old child just last week. I'm not making light of the trouble. Although I do think we should stop whining over this little stuff, okay? Not going to pretend that we shouldn't do that. But we are unconquerable. How's the only way that we can be conquered? There is one way. How is it that we can be unconquered? This is a quiz. How can we be conquered? Okay, we could forsake the Lord. Just give up. Allow it. You cannot be conquered, but you can give up. You can run up the white flag and surrender and give up. Been tempted. I have been. I've been tempted. Am I alone? Anybody else been tempted to give up? Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. The rest of you were lying. Because if you've lived in this world any length of time, at some point you've wanted to give up. Because it's not easy living here. It's a good life, but it's not an easy life. And sometimes we get pressed or perplexed. Sometimes we're struck down. We've all been persecuted. But folks, we're still here. This is a new year. This is a brand new year. It's actually only one extra, you know, it's just another day, but the way we time things, it's a new year. And when you have a new year, it feels like something different. And I don't want you to make any resolutions. And those of you who've made them's already broke them anyway. I mean, this is the 11th. Chances are you didn't make it past the 3rd. But I don't want you to make a resolution. I want you to make a lifestyle change. I want you to stop letting the devil tell you that you're less than you are. You are priceless. You are immortal. You are strong. You are courageous. You are full of the power of God. Did you notice in the scripture that it says right here, the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You don't have to do this in your own strength. That's what makes it perfect. God's never weak. God's never perplexed. God never wonders what he ought to be doing. And he lives inside of us. And he'll help us if we'll just stop thrashing around long enough for him to let us. You ever tried to help a little kid that's having a fit? And Jenny says, like, daily. I mean, have a little kid wants something and you want to help them, but they're so busy having their fit and they're kicking and screaming and carrying on and they won't listen. They won't quit thrashing about. What do you have to do before you can help them? You have to let them calm down. You have to let them calm down. It's the same with a drowning person. While they are thrashing around, you cannot save them. You have to wait. God is probably just waiting for you to quit kicking. Pitching a little fit. Oh, don't look at me like that. You pitch fits. I've seen some of you. And this is, but that's what we do. We need to make a lifestyle change. We need to remember and tell ourselves every day we are unconquerable and know what that means. We are mighty. We are strong. And it's time that the Church of Jesus Christ stood up in the power of God and did something about what's going on in this world. Every day, in every way, we can make a difference. Every day, in every way, We can make a difference. Let's say it. Every day, in every way, we can make a difference. Say it like you mean it. Every day, in every way, we can make a difference. And it's not on us. It's on Him. He'll do it. All He's ever asked us is to be willing to be used. Are you willing to be used? That's a serious question. Are you willing to be used? This is not something that I would normally do, but I think it's important because God believes what we tell Him. And if we make a covenant with Him, He takes it seriously. So please, please, please don't do this unless you mean it. If you are willing to let Him use you in any way He wants to, and I mean that, so don't stand up lightly. If you're willing to let Him use you for anything, we're not judging each other, stand up. Don't stand up unless you really mean it. Please, please, please don't. It is not God trying. We're not trying to judge each other. I'm getting you to say to God Almighty what you're willing to do because He's going to ask it. One last chance to sit down. Lord God Almighty, You see Your people standing here. And Lord, I give You thanks for those who could not stand. I thank You for their honesty. And Lord, I thank You for their struggle. And I ask You, Lord God, to shine Your blessing upon them because it took courage to stay down. And Lord God, I give You thanks and praise for those that stood up because it took courage to say, I'll do anything I'm asked to do. Lord God, You see this church. And we're not a huge number of people, but we are mighty and we are powerful because of the One that lives in us. Lord, we have a treasure that we want to share with the world. Make it possible. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Don't sit down, because we're going to do something else. We're running over. Is that all right? Can you all handle that today? I didn't get to preach last week, so you got to get a double dose. One of the things that we did when we were baptized is that we said that we were God's people. So every person, whether you stood or not, if you have been baptized, what I would like for you to do is remember your baptism. What I would like for you to do is I would like for you to come forward just like we do for communion. You know, come from the front and return by the side. Come from the aisle, I mean, and return by the side. And then